ABC Radio Australia.
Well, Australia continues its Pacific step up this week with another minister visiting the region. This time it's the Assistant Minister for the Pacific, Anne Rustin, who's in Samoa and Tonga. But some people are questioning why, when the Australian government is talking up the importance of people-to-people links, it's refusing to budge on its tourist visa access for ordinary Pacific Island citizens, especially when countries like China and Israel are offering visa-free access. When Pacific Beat put a call out for stories on Vanuatu's popular Facebook group Yumitok Tok Stret, there was a big response.
It sometimes takes forever and ever, 1 month, and it's very hard on some of us Nivans as the criteria is too complex.
Trying to get a visa for travelling is a pure headache as it's processed in Fiji. I learnt that lesson a few years ago. Now I apply for multiple entry visas and it makes life easier.
I had two Nivan friends visit me on a tourist visa recently. There were no problems at all.
There were more than 100 comments, with people sharing a range of experiences. Peter Ranbell was among them. He's from the island of Malekula in the north, but lives in Vanuatu's capital, Port Vila, and applied for a tourist visa last year.
1 week later, I received my response that they reduced my visa. Just because of I don't give more evidence, like for travelling or what. But I did manage to provide every information, a letter of sponsor and even my banking detail.
People shared stories about needing to submit 37 supporting documents just for a tourist visa, pointing out the discrepancy for Australians who visit Vanuatu.
For an Australian to travel to Vanuatu on tourist visa, it's free upon arrival without requesting bank statements and other additional documents. If Australia is asking for more documents to support visa applications, then Vanuatu should treat them the same. I still think it's not fair for some of us.
All foreign visitors coming to Australia require a visa, although citizens from certain countries in Europe, for example, can get free visas via a quick online application as part of a reciprocal arrangement, but not those in the Pacific. Solomon Islands academic Tarsisius Kapotulaka is the director of the University of Hawaii's Centre for Pacific Island Studies.
It takes a while and they are required to submit all kinds of things. I am quite aware that, you know, being here in the US makes a difference, and also the fact that I have a position in academia and have relationship with other institutions in Australia, and perhaps that makes a difference. But for ordinary people in Solomon Islands, Vanuatu or other Pacific Island countries, it's much more difficult.
Samoa's just signed a visa-free deal with Israel. Vanuatu's Prime Minister recently announced they're working towards visa-free access with China. Tonga and Fiji already have such an agreement. Vanuatu's Foreign Minister Ralph Reagan-Vanu declined a request from Pacific Beat to comment on theirs, saying he wanted to wait until the visa waiver agreement was signed. Many of those commenting on Facebook were quick to point out the different arrangements.
European countries, Russia, etc., have already granted visa-free for Vanuatu citizens. China has announced to do the same sometimes this year. What about Australia? Does Australia have the intention to do the same for countries in the Pacific?
Not interested with their bully tactics. Australia is slowly losing its value on us. Bye-bye.
But Australia's Pacific step up is all about increasing its value and place in the region. And Associate Professor Kapotulaka says Australia may be forced to revisit its visa policies.
I think that the reset and the Pacific step up policy that New Zealand and Australia have is framed largely around geostrategic concerns, and particularly concerns about the assertive influence and presence of China. And so if you see the kinds of interventions that they've made, a lot of these interventions are largely to try and counter the growing influence of China. And then more recently, the promises for funds for infrastructure development, that is to counter China's increasing investment in infrastructure development in the Pacific Islands. And I suppose they see immigration and visa entry into Australia as something that is not a big issue in terms of geostrategic concerns. But if countries are looking to China for free visa entry, then it will raise eyebrows in Wellington and Canberra, I would assume.
Well, as you say, we've seen Australia and New Zealand change their policies in a range of things, from infrastructure financing and its presence in the Pacific in general. We hear so much about people-to-people links as a form of soft power diplomacy. Do you think we might also see a change in immigration and visa policy from Australia?
I think they have to. I mean, for a lot of Pacific Islanders going to Australia and New Zealand, because of relatives and friends and people who live in these places, and because it's closer and because of language issues, they would, look at going to Australia and New Zealand more than to China. But again, as time goes, more and more Pacific Islanders go to school in China nowadays. So you will see increasingly Pacific Islanders speaking Chinese. It is understandable that Pacific Islanders will be looking at going to China rather than to Australia and New Zealand.
Australia has announced a new travel card for the Pacific, which comes into effect in the middle of this year, which the government says will improve people-to-people links. The Home Affairs Department says the Pacific Australia card will, quote, improve the travel experience of visiting Pacific leaders from political, business and sporting spheres. But it won't be a visa on arrival scheme. Those eligible will still need to apply. They will, however, receive priority processing.